I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you pray with faith? Do you pray with faith? And right now, you should be saying to yourself, what's that even mean? Because that's what we should ask. What's that mean? Do you pray with faith? Now, I'm going to jump off what I was saying the last time I spoke. So here's a little reminder. The last time that we talked, we were looking at what Scripture calls Jesus' wings. Remember? The tallit, when you spread them out and it makes the wings. And we talked about that sneaky woman in the crushing crowd who touched his wings, right? And she touched him in faith and was immediately healed, unlike the crushing crowd. They're touching him. Because unlike the persistence of the pushy people who were acting on impulse based on desire, she was acting on hope based on faith in God's word, which we saw was in his word. It's in Malachi, and it's a promise of healing that would be waiting in the wings of the Savior. And she was the only one, apparently. And so, remember, that's why Jesus just stops the presses and makes this woman explain to the crowd her actions. Why? It says why she did what she did. And then we saw it changed the way they approached him after that. They all wanted to touch him. Because here's the thing. If we're not trusting him, his word, his promise, if we're not trusting him when we're coming to him, we're acting more like pagans than children. And when we ended, we said we can't trust what we don't know. And so we took a tip from the story of his wings, acknowledging that we need to know his word so we, like she, can reach out in faith as we hope in him without pushing our own agenda. Which also means, we'll pick it up right there, which also means we must trust his answers as we come to understand them, which turns out is not all that complicated. We just don't like doing it. It's not all that complicated because he's only got the three answers. Yes, our favorite. We love yes. No, which is always for our best, but we hate it. We don't like no. And then the yes, but not yet. And that last one's a tricky one, right? That's tricky because we can only see that one in hindsight. Been praying and praying and praying, and then it happens. It's like, whoa, so I guess that was a yes, but not yet all this time. Sadly, in the meantime, till that happens, we mostly mistake it for a no. A lot of people just stop praying before they get an absolute no. So we should treat every apparent no as though it's a yes, but not yet, until we know that we know it's a definite no, okay? Which is often the case when asking for healing. That's where this comes into play so much. And I just want to say that when we do know, you know, that it's a definite no, don't make the mistake. Don't view a no as though he didn't answer your prayer. Trust that he did. He just said no. But also trust that he did what he did for the eternal best of everyone, and I mean that literally, everyone involved till the end of time. It's a perspective we just don't have. But all that to say, your prayer doesn't fail when he says no. It worked. You got an answer. In fact, you now absolutely know his answer. And so we move on. But in the meanwhile, until we know that answer, we must be persistent without being pushy, which means we must not pray harder. You know, like we got to get him to listen. We must pray truer and sincerer. And true sincerity requires regular practice. And one of the first things a good coach will do is to help his players unlearn whatever they've been doing wrong, which is exactly what Jesus does with his prayers when he begins training his 12 to pray his way. We've seen this the last couple weeks, but I want you to look at it through different eyes here. Coach Jesus helping them unlearn, saying, when you pray, go into your room, close the door. I want you to notice that. Why is that in there? Close the door. Close the door and pray to your Father. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, okay? For your Father, who loves you, only wants what's best for you. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So what should we do instead, Jesus? Close the door and listen for a change. You see, pagans in Jesus' day recited formulaic prayers for a very specific purpose. They did it in order to appease and control and manipulate their otherwise indifferent gods. See the big difference here. And so they were more like magic spells than prayers. Don't have your prayers be like that. Because see, it wasn't about faith or trust in their love. Often the opposite. They were attempting to please an uncaring God. And it was strictly business. It was, look, I offer this so that you'll do that. It was not a partnership, as we've been talking about. It was just a business transaction. It was a quid pro quo. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Don't let your prayers look anything like that. But the question is, and I love this question because I love the answer, why would Coach Jesus begin his prayer training by warning his 12 young apprentices to not keep on babbling like pagans? Obvious answer, because they kept on babbling like pagans. And the first thing he wanted them to do was to please not keep on doing that. We got to unlearn that. Same goes for us, and even more so, because, I mean, this was his chosen 12 we're talking about, right? So we better all the more beware that the best of believers can carelessly practice what Jesus just outright calls pagan-like prayer. Likely it's done mostly in a well-meaning but misguided attempt to make our prayers more powerful, right? Rather than more sincere. But sadly, it only makes them more offensive by unwittingly attempting to appease rather than just please our loving Father, not our impersonal God. So, obvious observation coming. Jesus' boys were Jews, which means they had been raised reciting the central prayer of the Jewish faith. Anybody remember the name of it? Mentioned it a couple times. Yep, you got it. Somebody got it. The Amidah. Were you trying to change your voice and be like one of the crowd? I heard a little girl's voice over here. That's funny. The central prayer of the Jewish faith, we've mentioned it, we've not talked a lot about it. It is the 10-minute Amidah that was spoken individually 3 times a day, 5 days a week, 780 times a year. And besides the blah, blah, blah of the Amidah, there were prayers for waking and washing and eating and finishing eating, as well as the morning and evening and bedtime blessings, the weekend prayers, the holiday prayers, and a host of special prayers for everything from seeing a rainbow, I kid you not, to receiving bad news. So understand, it is not that the boys didn't know how to talk to God. They didn't know how to stop. And that is the truth. And that's why Jesus says what he says. I coach Jesus first helps them unlearn their prayer babbling. Stop the prayer babbling. Imagine the temptation. I mean, if you had to get through that many prayers a day, imagine the temptation to rattle through those pre-recorded prayers as quickly as babbleable. This is what we would do. Focusing on the act rather than the attitude, the heart, in repetitive, pagan-esque fashion. So Coach Jesus begins with this warning that comes straight from Ecclesiastes. And it's all about prayer, but here's the part you need to hear now. To let your words be few. That's it. Let your words be few. But more than that, the underlying question at the core is, do you pray with faith? Because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what? That's it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you pray with faith? You see, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in, I'm going to say only, expressing his own heart. So, turns out a fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. So let the wise listen and add to their learning and get that guidance we're all looking for when we pray. If you sincerely desire answers to prayer, well then here you go. When you go to God, draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. You know what that means? Talking. Just talking, only delighting in expressing your own heart. For they do not know that they do evil because they don't listen. Do not be rash with your mouth, because nobody likes a rash mouth. Okay, that's, don't be rash with your mouth. And since your mouth speaks what's in your heart, let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is, well, our Father in heaven, and you, well, are his child on earth. Therefore, children, let your words be few and open your ears to hear. For a fool's voice is known by his what?
Many words.
Say it again.
Many words.
By his many words. And thus, Coach Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray. For babbling pagans think they will be heard because of their what?
Many words.
Many words. Now, I really wonder what door Jesus is referring to when he says, close the door and pray. Being that he very well knew David's prayer request to God in Psalm 141, where David says, I want you to hear my prayer. He says, give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense, your pleasing aroma before you. And so apparently that requires this. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Close the door and pray. Do not let my heart incline to any evil to busy myself. You ever watch a movie with a nonstop talker? And they just keep trying. It's like, oh, she's the killer. She's the killer, definitely. You know. And then it's, wait, he's the killer. This guy's the killer. Wait, I think it's suicide. I think it was suicide. You ever pray like that? Because we do. Oh, Lord, Give me this. I just really need this. I just need this. Tick tock, tick tock. Wait, Lord, give me that. Give me that. I just really need that. Tick tock, tick tock. Wait, Lord, give me this and that. In both cases, I think the advice would be the same, that whether the movie theater or on your knees in prayer, shh, you wait. You just wait and watch. Just watch. Because you might be missing out by butting in. We think of prayer as mostly talking, but it should be mostly listening. Amen should not mean we're done. It should mean I'm done. Okay, I'm all ears. Amen on me. I'm all ears now. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And according to Ecclesiastes, our words are an offering best served in small amounts, like sin. I keep it current for the kids. Anybody old enough to remember my grandpa's sin? That to say, anybody remember sin? I can't be that much older than all of you. Anyway, trust me. They burn. A little goes a long. They're like a tiny chiclet, but they just burn your tongue. Okay. A little goes a long way when it comes to us speaking to the Lord. You know why? For we know in part, and we prophesy, that is to say, understand what God has revealed in part. And so Paul says, it's like when I was a child. Think of it this way. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, because I understood as a child, because I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But here's the thing. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. We're still children. Because for now, as children of God, he sums it up by saying, I know in part. I still know in part. And like children, we forget to close the door and open our ears and let our Father get a word in edgewise. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get God wrong. We love to listen to our children to a point. But when they won't stop talking and they won't listen, we shush them to help them to hear whatever it is that they need to hear. So Jesus begins this prayer training by simply basically saying, shush, try to talk less. It almost sounds like he's saying, pray less, but he's not. He's saying to speak less when you pray. Turns out there's another very neglected side of prayer. Trouble is, we don't call it prayer, so we don't see it as prayer. And so we're not sure how to listen to our Father, because I'll tell you this much, it doesn't mean sitting in silence, straining to hear our own imagination. You know, I pray, now I'm going to listen to you, God. And I just, No. It means to actually listen to him speak. So the question is, how do we pray by ear rather than by mouth? And thankfully, the answer is found in the Bible. No surprise there. The surprise is, it is the Bible. Turns out, reading God's word is praying by ear. Read that with me, please. Reading God's word is praying by ear. Let that soak in, because we have this big old thing about praying and then, you know, studying the Bible. No, reading God's word is praying by ear. We're told in Hebrews now that, you know, the book of Proverbs, the father's advice in Proverbs. Well, we are told in Hebrews that the Proverbs are actually Father God's instructions to us. So with that in mind, I'm going to do a little fly through. Because I was going to pick out a couple. I knew there's a couple of nice verses in Proverbs. And then I saw another and another. I ended up printing out the entire, 30 chapters of it. And how many chapters are there on the spot?
31.
I heard somebody say 31. Anyway, I went through and I just highlighted. See if you can notice a thread here. In the handouts, it shows every chapter verse of each line. But this is from chapter 1 to the end, we'll say. So knowing this is Father God's instructions to us, with that in mind, hear, my child, your heavenly Father's instruction. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Those who listen to me will be secure. My child, if you accept my words, wisdom will come into your heart. Listen, children, to a father's instruction. Do not forsake my teaching. Let your heart hold fast my words. My child, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. My child, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. My child, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. My child, keep my words, keep my teachings, write them on the tablet of your heart. My children, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Take my instruction. My children, listen to me. Happy is the one who listens to me. The wise lay up knowledge, but the babbling of a fool brings ruin. When words are many, a transgression is not lacking, but the prudent are restrained in speech. Those who guard their mouths preserve their lives. Those who open wide their lips come to ruin. Those who despise the word bring destruction on themselves. A fool despises a parent's instruction, but one who spares words is knowledgeable. Even fools who keep silent are considered wise. Yeah, when they close their lips, they close the door of their lips, they are deemed intelligent. Cease straying, my child, from the words of knowledge. Incline your ear and hear my words and apply your mind to my teaching. My child, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. Hear, my child, and be wise. Listen to your heavenly Father who begot you. Because when one will not listen, even their prayers are an abomination. You see a common theme there? It surprised me that that's throughout the whole book, God returning to us as children to just say, listen to my words. Jesus' disciples saw prayer as mostly repeating the words they thought our Father wanted to hear. But when we realize that praying is mostly about listening, and that God will speak if and when we seek, we'll actually begin to rewire our desire to read and reflect on his word. Because if we foolishly view reading scripture as studying rather than listening, we'll justify not reading based on the false notion that it's not relational. And we'll end up offering a fool's one-sided prayer. How ironic that the first line of the Amidah begins, Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare. Because Jesus took that thing to his flabbergasted apprentices' utter disbelief and edited the entire Amidah to about the 30 seconds that we know of as the Lord's Prayer. Because it isn't God who needs to hear us. He likes to hear us, loves to hear us, to a point. But he knows our needs before our prayers, which is why listening prayer should take up the lion's share of our prayer time. So when do you allow him to speak? And I mean whether by reading or just reflecting, walking and reflecting on the scriptures you've stored up in your heart, because that requires finding a way to get away, to close that door and pray by ear. Unlike the religious rulers who always found a way to make things too difficult, Jesus has a way of making things seem too simple. And so for whatever reason, we seem to try to complicate it. But trust him. When it comes to prayer, our Father prefers a few heartfelt words with a lot of listening, especially while fishing. We know he was always fond of that. So close your door, open his book, and listen to our Father, who said, "Receive into your heart all my words, and hear with your ears." So close that door and pray, because he can't open your ears till you open his word. You know, what do you call a friend who won't listen? Who calls a friend who won't listen? They won't listen. I'm calling them. Therefore, if we're going to answer the call, we better be the listening type. So what do you say we shut up and pray? Father God, we love you and worship you for knowing our needs even before we do. Holy Spirit, inspire us to open our eyes to your word and stir us up to listen up. Lord Jesus, we praise you sincerely and listen to you attentively. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.